Hello, my name is Dmitry Kovalsky. I'm one of the Graphene Core maintainers from Intel Labs. I've been working on this project part-time for the last 2-3 years, actively contributing to it and using Graphene as a research vehicle for our other projects. In today's talk, I will give an overview of technical details about Graphene, its applicability to Intel SGX enclaves, its development progress and current status, as well as several lessons learned along the way. I'm assuming in this talk that the audience knows about Intel SGX and TEs in general, and I will skip such background. Before I start with the presentation, it is important to note that this is a presentation by Intel with the following legal disclaimer. Let's start with the basics. Graphene is a runtime or framework to run unmodified Linux applications on different platforms in different environments. Let's look at an example. Say we have a Redis database that is originally built against and runs on Linux on an x86 architecture. Graphene takes this Redis Linux x86-based binary and its dependent libraries without modification or recompilation and lets it run in another environment. For example, the currently available and most widely used configuration is running applications inside an Intel SGX enclave on top of the untrusted Linux kernel. Or take another example. Maybe you want to run this Redis Linux x86-based binary in a RISC-V Keystone enclave on top of Windows. This configuration doesn't exist yet, but may be hypothetically possible in the future. Graphene helps in running applications in such environments. Graphene needs some modifications to enable these environments, of course. In other words, Graphene allows to lift and shift an application from one environment, native Linux, to another one, for example, protected SGX. From a technical perspective, it is important to understand that Graphene is a library operating system with modular design. Let's decipher this definition. Library Operating System, or LibOS for short, means that Graphene is like a tiny re-implementation of a Linux kernel that is very small in size, somewhat limited in the functionality, and is tailored to run only one application. This application can spawn multiple threads and processes, but it's not like Graphene runs several distrusted applications at once, as normal OSs do. Since Graphene is a library OS, Graphene itself runs as a normal, user-level process on the host operating system. Just to make it very clear, Graphene is not a virtual machine. Next, Graphene has modular design. Graphene is not a monolithic code base. Graphene runs as two tightly interacting components, the LibOS layer and the PAL layer. I will explain the details of this separation later, but for now it's important to know. Each of these two components can be switched to another implementation independently of the other. To allow for switching between different PAL implementations, for example, Graphene specifies the API-ABI interfaces between them. Now, let's look at these interfaces. First, the application enabled inside Graphene must be a Linux application that uses a classic Linux system called syscall interface to request functionality from the host kernel and to communicate with the outside world. Graphene currently implements 166 most widely used syscalls out of about 325 possible Linux syscalls. The unimplemented ones are mainly the deprecated syscalls or sysadmin syscalls. Neither of these are needed to run real-world cloud applications that Graphene targets. Graphene intercepts the system calls and invokes their corresponding emulations in its LibOS component. The LibOS component tries to resolve most system calls by itself, but in some cases, it must forward the request to the host OS. One example of syscalls resolved inside LibOS itself are user permission checks. Graphene's LibOS maintains a lot of metadata on open files, connections, created threads, and processes, and consults this metadata on each system call. An example of syscalls that are forwarded to the host OS are IO syscalls like receive and send, because Graphene obviously can't communicate with the outside world without the help of a host platform. I must note, though, that all forwarded syscalls also keep relevant metadata, and LibOS verifies this metadata for consistency. So when LibOS needs to ask the host OS for some resources or functionality, the LibOS doesn't just issue a direct system call to the host kernel. Instead, LibOS goes through one level of indirection, the platform adaptation layer or PAL component. PAL is needed to adjust the LibOS request to the capabilities of the underlying platform. PAL is kept minimal and stateless, and LibOS calls into PAL via 51 so-called DK functions. This is the Graphene ABI between LibOS and PAL. PAL helps to encapsulate all host platform-specific code of Graphene in one small component that can be easily changed. Thus, the LibOS code base of Graphene always stays exactly the same for different host platforms, and only the PAL component is replaced. Now, if you want to run your Redis application inside the SGX enclave, you simply use Graphene with a different SGX-specific file component. If you would want to run your Redis application in, say, RISC-V Keystone enclave, you would simply use Graphene with a Keystone-specific file. So enabling your application on a new platform is a matter of plugging a new file component underneath. Well, the SGX file is currently the primarily used file of Graphene. Because the Intel SGX technology dictates separation of a process into trusted and untrusted parts, Graphene's SGX file consists also of two parts, the trusted file that runs inside the SGX enclave and the untrusted file that runs outside. Trusted file performs so-called OCalls to exit the enclave and pass control to the untrusted file, and there are 41 OCalls in total. Then the untrusted file forwards requests to the host kernel, gets back the results from the host, and re-enters the enclave. It is important to note that these 41 SGX OCalls are the only attack surface in Graphene. Well, I slightly oversimplify, but this is generally true. So we manually inspect all these OCalls and add checks and validations to them to make sure attacks from the untrusted host are thwarted. We argue that having 41 controlled entry points between the enclave and the untrusted world in the form of OCalls is a good compromise between security, usability, and performance. But when we talk about trusted execution environments, we also frequently judge the level of security by lines of code in the Trusted Computing Base, or TCB. In this sense, Graphene also offers a good compromise. The libOS component of Graphene is about 32,000 lines of C code. Graphene is written in modern C. We actually periodically decrease this number via code removal and refactoring. The native Linux PAL component is about 10,000 lines of code. For comparison, the source code of open source version of Redis without additional models is about 144,000 lines of code, and the tiny configuration of a Linux kernel is at least 270,000 lines of code. When we look at the SGX environment, then libOS stays the same, obviously, and Linux SGX PAL has 14,000 lines in the trusted part and another 4,000 in untrusted part. Of course, only the libOS component and the trusted part of SGX PAL are run inside the SGX enclave. So the actual Graphene TCB for Intel SGX is around 46,000 lines of code. We regard this as a small TCB for a framework that is able to run a wide range of applications. As typical in security-critical environments, the application running inside Graphene and an SGX enclave must be accompanied by a security manifest. This security manifest is a plain text file in a simple TOML format. Let's look at a small example. First, the manifest must specify the actual executable to load and run, in this case, the Redis executable. Next, the manifest may overwrite the required environment variables. The manifest should also specify a subset of host OS directories to be mounted so that only they are visible to the enclavized application, possibly under a different name, as shown in this example. Here, the glibc libraries are silently replaced with Graphene patch glibc libraries. Next, the manifest contains some SGX architecture-specific variables, like the maximum enclave size and the maximum number of simultaneous enclave threads. And finally, this example shows how files to be consumed by the SGX enclave must be marked as trusted. In this case, Graphene calculates the secure hashes during build time, appends these hashes to the manifest, and during runtime, Graphene will verify that the files were not modified. There are several more manifest options in Graphene to enable some additional functionality. So the manifest is the single most important file when enabling applications inside Graphene and Intel SGX. Ultimately, the security and correct functioning of the application depends on how its manifest file is written. Now that we understand the design principles behind Graphene and how it is used to enable applications in secure environments like Intel SGX, let's go through some technical details. I'll start with an overview of our progress. So Graphene itself started as a research prototype at Stony Brook University. The development started in 2011, and the very first open source version of Graphene happened in 2014. Then, in early 2019, Intel, Invisible Things Lab, and Golem started the Graphene Working Group. The first major release of Graphene was in September 2019. Since then, the pace of Graphene development accelerated drastically, with a core group of about 8 developers and maintainers. So let me give you some stats on what happened in the last 1.5 years, till January 2021. There were changes in 1,179 files, basically in all files that constitute Graphene. There were about 87,000 inserted lines of code and approximately the same number of deleted lines of code. Thanks to constant refactoring, we kept the TCB size the same even when adding new features. There were more than 1,000 commits from 34 different authors. About 1/4 of these commits were done by me. And finally, we reworked and rewrote from scratch a lot of internal implementations in Graphene, like memory management, thread handling, process handling, signal handling, just to name a few. These rewrites were needed to eradicate all code cases, memory leaks, different bugs, data races accumulated in the last 10 years of Graphene development. Now let me give you a very brief overview of the internal Graphene implementations. I will start with the main component of Graphene, the LibOS layer. You can think of the LibOS component as a tiny re-implementation of a Linux kernel, but with one huge difference. The Linux kernel can only rely on and can only communicate with the underlying hardware, whereas Graphene LibOS can rely on 51 functions from the PAL component and communicate with the outside world through these 51 PAL functions. So this is why the implementation of our LibOS is only 1/10 of lines of code of a modern Linux kernel. If you look under the hood of LibOS, you will see all the usual operating systems concepts, objects, and flows. There is some code to spawn new threads and manage them. There are abstractions for message queues and semaphores. There is Linux-style multiprocessing support of fork and execve. There is code to handle synchronous and asynchronous signals, code for process migration, code for loading ELF binaries, logic for VMA-style memory management, futuxes, pol and depol on file descriptors, a virtual file system, and so on and so on. And when we develop new features in Graphene's LibOS, we find ourselves constantly reading through POSIX standards and the Linux source code, and then writing code according to the same guidelines and principles. LibOS is quite literally a re-implementation of a Linux kernel. Graphene is quite normal when we talk about functionality required to run a single process. In particular, thread management, memory management, binary loading, intra-process signals, and things like timers and alarms look similar to the classic Linux kernel implementations. Of course, we wrote our implementations from scratch. But Graphene significantly differs from classic Linux when we talk about multiprocess functionality. Here, Graphene behaves not as a monolithic OS, but as a distributed OS, a collection of loosely coupled single-process operating systems that communicate with each other through message passing and not through shared memory and copy-on-write tricks. In this sense, Graphene borrows heavily from OS kernels like Herd. One interesting aspect of this is that forking a child process from a parent process is significantly more complicated than under Linux. Linux has the luxury of relying on hardware-based trick of copy-on-write. The child and the parent share the same physical page until the child starts modifying it. So there is no memory sharing in Graphene, because there is no memory sharing in Intel SGX. Thus, in Graphene, the parent process must checkpoint all its state, spawn a clean-cut child process, copy the state into the child's virtual memory, exactly as it was in the parent, bar Linux-specific quirks. And the child process then must restore the received state and continue from the same place in code after the fork. Another interesting aspect of Graphene is its virtual file system. Graphene follows the same model as Linux, with a single interface to several pluggable FS implementations. In particular, all special or pseudo files, like those under proc and dev and sys, are emulated completely inside Graphene. It makes no sense to forward contents of these files from the host OS. Graphene's main virtual file system is the chroot.fs, designed for regular files. In Graphene, all regular files correspond to host OS files. In other words, each regular file seen in Graphene is backed by a normal file in the host OS. And all operations on these regular files are kind of passed through to the host OS through the PAL component. Finally, Graphene's LibOS emulates pipes, FIFOs, Unix domain sockets, network sockets, EventFD objects, and so on. Some operations on these objects are resolved inside the LibOS. Some operations, like receive and send, are passed down to PAL, which then passes them to the host OS. Graphene is currently in the middle of great refactoring and rewriting. We take one subsystem of the LibOS at a time, rewrite it almost completely, iron out all bugs and quirks, make sure it works in a stable, reliable, correct, and safe manner. We already rewrote major parts of LibOS, like memory management, thread and signal handling, futuxes and synchronization, and so on. We are still in the middle of our journey, currently working on file system rewrites, migration, and the dynamic loader. This is a hard but important work to remove all accumulated technical debt. Now, this was all about the LibOS component. As I mentioned before, LibOS relies on the 51 functions implemented in the underlying PAL component. How is this implemented in Graphene? There are several PALs available in Graphene, one for each supported environment. The most basic PAL is Linux PAL. It allows Graphene to run on a normal Linux kernel on x86 machines. This Linux PAL implements these 51 functions, which serve as a straightforward glue between what LibOS wants from the underlying platform and what the underlying platform offers. In particular, the Linux PAL contains a simple ELF loader, functions to facilitate process migration, memory management for Linux's mmap, mnmap, thread management via Linux's clone exit, and so on and so on. Now, if a user wants to run an application not on the normal Linux, but inside of an Intel SGX enclave, then the user simply swaps Linux PAL for a Linux SGX PAL. This PAL exposes the exact same 51 functions to the LibOS, but now all these functions are hardened to secure the application inside the enclave. All subsystems of the Linux SGX PAL have additional checks, verifications, and if needed, transparent encryptions. For example, the migration of a checkpointed state from a parent process to a child process is transparently encrypted to prevent confidential data leakage. Similarly, pipes, messages, and signals among Graphene processes are encrypted. Also, files marked as protected in the manifest are transparently encrypted and integrity protected. Also, checks are added to prevent Yago attacks. I would like to note that network socket communication is not protected by Graphene. This is because all modern applications already enable the SSL TLS protocol to protect their TCP/IP communications, so there is no need to additionally re-encrypt network traffic. Finally, a few subsystems in the Linux SGX PAL are only lightly protected. This is because there is not much harm that can be done by malicious host OS in, for example, thread management. The only issues that can arise are application starvation or DOS attacks, because a malicious OS refuses to schedule application threads or give network data to it. But this is out of a thread model of Graphene and of Intel SGX. This is all for the technical details of Graphene and its internal implementation. I'd like to briefly highlight some additional developments in Graphene. In the past 1.5 years, we worked a lot on security. All inter-process communication and checkpoints are always TLS protected. In other words, all data passed around is encrypted and integrity protected. Host files that are read and written by Graphene are at least trusted, which means they are in plain text but integrity protected, or fully protected. They are encrypted for confidentiality. We fixed all identified memory leaks so that the attacker cannot steal bits of information. We also improved performance of Graphene a lot. In particular, we enabled profiling of SGX applications via the classic tools perf record report. We also moved to better data structures like AVL trees and fine-grained logging. And we also enabled exitless or switchless or synchronous system calls in Graphene. We also worked on stability. We eradicated data races, memory bugs, and we fixed tons of bugs in our forking code, signal handling, IPC, and so on. Finally, we improved usability of Graphene. Previously, the user had to create several manifests for her application, one manifest per each unique process. Now there is a single manifest, kind of similar to a Dockerfile. We improved our login and debugging systems, which helps tremendously in debugging and bug reports. So this talk concentrated on the Graphene core and its technical progress, but there is a lot of enabled SGX infrastructure around Graphene. I already mentioned the protected files feature, also called the file system shield, where security critical files are automatically encrypted and decrypted inside the enclave. We also have local and remote SGX attestation support, both for EPID and DCAP schemes. I also mentioned exitless or asynchronous system calls to improve performance of SGX applications. And we also have Docker integration. The tool is called GSC and it automatically converts Docker images into Graphenized Docker images. Okay, my favorite slide in this presentation. After several years of this work, what have I personally learned? As a person who jumped ship from academia to industry, the first lesson is this. Software research artifacts are just what they are, minimally runnable proofs of concept. They typically have a long way to production, and ideally they must be almost completely rewritten. This is because as a researcher, you just want your code to run. You introduce quick hacks, one-liners, temporary scripts, and this leads to accumulation of databases, memory leaks. Also, most of the time there is no error handling. So the first lesson for me was, when you take a research artifact like Graphene, be ready to refactor it piece by piece. 95% of the code will need to be rewritten anyway. Interestingly, the correct solution is typically also a very compact solution, so we are frequently able to remove like 50 to 80% of the old ad hoc code. Another lesson is specific to Graphene's design and philosophy. Graphene is effectively a distributed OS, which stands in drastic contrast from the monolithic Linux Windows operating systems. Graphene also can't rely on shared memory, so synchronizing shared state must be done through explicit message passing, and it is very hard. Thankfully, we can lean on a vast amount of research on distributed systems and borrow ideas from there. The final lesson is similar to the previous one, but more specific. When you don't have shared memory, fork is extremely cumbersome. First of all, it is ubiquitous in practice, you can't just work around this. Even though fork is considered as an outdated hack by many researchers, a ton of real-world applications rely on quirky fork behavior, so we have to live with fork. But because there is no shared memory and thus no copy on write in Graphene and in Intel SGX, we must emulate copy on write via explicit migration with checkpoint and restore. In other words, all application-used memory and all internal Graphene state must be serialized, compacted into one blob, and crypted, sent to the child process, where it will be decrypted and deserialized. This is already hard by itself, but it gets worse due to layered fork history in Unix systems. Children inherit a lot of parent state, like signal dispositions, but not all of parent state. For example, pending signals are not kept in the child. All this Unix logic looks rather messy, but Graphene needs to faithfully follow these rules to properly emulate Linux. In the last slide of my talk, I would like to stress that Graphene is an open source project maintained by a dedicated community with contributors from several companies and universities. We successfully enabled multiple widely used applications in Graphene across several domains and hope to support more use cases as we grow. Thank you very much. I'd like to invite your questions and leave you with a couple of links to find out more about the project.